Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is so good to be here today. Praise God. We are going to be worshiping God for a while, and then we will have our Bible study, and after that we're going to have a baptism. But before we do anything, we need to pray, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee, O God, for thy goodness, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here this day. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here today. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to reach out to thee. Help us to draw nigh to thee so that thou can draw nigh to us. I pray, O God, that we would feel thy presence, O God. I pray that thou would do a work in our hearts. I pray that thou would continue to mold us and shape us and change us for the better. Perfect us according to thy perfect will, we pray. And I pray that thou would inspire us to worship thee in spirit and in truth here this night. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we are going to start with number 11 in the chorus book. Let's just praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God.
Praise the Lord.
It is a wonderful thing to praise the Lord, but it's also an even better thing to worship the Lord. So let's go to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord. Number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord. In the beauty of holiness. Wonderful name being spoken of in that song is the name of Jesus. For there is no name greater than the name Jesus. Let's go to number 22 and sing Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Number 22. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 122 and sing Jesus is the Sweetest Name I Know, number 122. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. God. Oh yes, that mighty name of Jesus. We have victory in that name of Jesus. In that name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Praise God. Let's go to number 77 and sing In the Name of Jesus, number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Devils will have to tell me. God. Well, we are, praise God. We're going to turn to our hymnals now, our Melodies of Praise hymnals, and we're going to turn to number 107 and sing Glory to His Name, number 107. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, glory to His name, glory to His name. It is so good to glorify the name of the Lord. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 294 and sing Victory in Jesus, number 294.
I heard an old story.
our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. God. I tell you what, we would have no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be no victory without the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all thy abundant blessings, and I pray that thou will continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. I pray, O God, that thou would show us what we must do in these days ahead, for we know that these days are uncertain, but we know that thou knowest all things, and we know that thou art truly in control. So we pray, O God, for thy wisdom. Direct our steps. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy name, for we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus from the chorus book before we get started with the Bible study. And you know, we haven't sang this one in a little while, but it's a chorus that this ministry is well known for, number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith, number 78. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Walking right beside me, keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. To know that he's walking with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley for the night and see what the Lord has laid on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is great. It's wonderful to be able to praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's been an exciting few days. I know our dear sister here, Lyle's been with us, and I've so enjoyed being with her. And we've had some terrific Bible studies. This girl loves the Lord. She loves the Word of God, and it's been just happy just getting to know her and opening up the Bible with her. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I just couldn't help but think, you know, we just sang that song, Victory in Jesus. And, you know, we couldn't have reached out ourselves except that there was that call to repentance. And, you know, how, you know, he sought us, how he bought us, you know, how he redeemed us. And I think about that night when he called me unto salvation. You know, I had no idea that day what God was going to do. I just didn't know. You know, it was an amazing thing. There weren't all that many people there that night. It was a pretty small group because, yeah, a lot of people were at the church camp and some of our family didn't go. And so there we were, and there was a different pastor in the pulpit taking the service. And, you know, he preached about hell. And I'll tell you what, it did something for me Tell you what, all at once, this little girl who didn't realize what was going to happen and how God was going to intervene in her life suddenly couldn't wait to get up there to the front and pour out her heart to the Lord. I tell you what, he worked in a mighty way. And oh, wow, thank the Lord. Life has never been the same since that. But I know it was the Lord. I could have done it on myself. I didn't intend to do that. I didn't know I was going to do that. But oh, there was that pole that night. There was that call that night, and wow, praise the Lord, what a difference it made. The difference when the Lord comes into our life, and praise the Lord, as I poured out my heart, he eventually began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God came into my life, and I thank the Lord. They baptized me the next Sunday in the name of Jesus, but you thank the Lord, you know, I couldn't have done it. You know, it probably took me years to realize how that was, that, you know, my intentions as a child weren't really so wonderful. But praise the Lord, God had other plans. You know, I wouldn't be here tonight except that the Lord pulled me out of, you know, sin, out of the world, and, you know, put something in my heart that, you know, is deeper than the things of this world, you know, a desire that's deeper than anything else to serve him, yes, and to be right with the Lord. You know, oh, wow, one of these days we're going to be home. One of these days we're going to be gathered around, oh, yes, that throne. And, oh, yes, the worship, the praise, as we realize what price was paid for our redemption. You know, we could be gathered together, that we could be heirs of Christ. And, oh, yes, be his sons and daughters. You know, what joy is going to fill our heart when we realize what he did for us. Praise the Lord, how he called us. And praise the Lord, you know, he's still calling tonight. We still have moments. I feel like we're down, you know, to the brink of time, the end of time. But, you know, there's still opportunity. That door is still opened. And thank God he's still calling. And praise the Lord when you feel, oh yes, that tug at your heart. I pray that you give in, that you let the Lord take over and move in your life. Oh yes, because what a difference he makes. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, the hope that he gives us is beyond any hope that we could have in this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your ways that are above our ways. Oh, God, your goodness, your mercy. Oh, Lord, your loving kindness to us, Lord. Oh, God, that you would reach down, oh, Lord, and call us even though we were in a miry pit, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God, and in so need of thee, Lord. Oh, God, we just thank you for what you've done, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you would talk to each and every heart tonight, Lord. Those that are sitting here, those that are online, Lord. Oh, God, our beloved brothers and sisters, God, you know our needs as individuals, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you'd work, Lord, that you'd use these simple words, oh, God, that they would be edifying, Lord. Oh, God, that they would serve the purpose that you intended, God. Oh, Lord, that you'd move in our hearts, God, that you'd change us, Lord. And, oh, Lord, I pray that you would pour out of your Spirit, oh, Lord, in a new and living way, Lord, that you would recharge us. Oh, God, that you would anoint us, God, that you'd put it within us deep down inside, Lord. Oh, God, that you give us strength to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, Lord, and the adversary and everything, oh, God, that might come across our paths. Lord, we need you, Lord. We call upon you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, knowing that there's great deliverance and victory in that name, Lord. Oh, God, and we thank you for the truth that you've given us. Oh, yes, the power that's in your name, the authority that's in your name. Oh, Lord, and oh, Lord, the wonderful revelations that you've shown us. Pray that you be here, Lord, that the strong man be bound in every opposing work, Lord. Let there be no hindrances in the name of Jesus. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to perceive in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we stand on thy promises and come before thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Zechariah, the third chapter here tonight. Zechariah, one of the minor prophets, right before Malachi, the last prophets of the Old Testament, and we're going to turn, Lord willing, to the third chapter of Zechariah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we have Zechariah speaking as we begin this chapter. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. It must have been like a vision that God gave Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. And, you know, here it is. God is showing him something. And I believe he's showing him into the spiritual realm, things that wouldn't be apparent with our natural eyesight. But here it was, and I believe we could call it a vision. Verse 1, it says, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." And this is an amazing thing here. We have the high priest. We're in the Old Testament. You know, this is the time of the law. All of this. And here's the high priest. His name is Joshua. And here he is. He's standing. You can see the angel of the Lord standing before him. And then there's opposition. There's a hindrance right at his right hand. You know, the right hand where the power is, the authority. There's one that's trying to resist him. And it's old Satan himself, standing there to hinder, to resist him. And it tells us in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee." And I'll tell you what, you know, when you come up against the odds and you know that you've got opposition, you've got hindrances, praise the Lord, we can rebuke the devil and know that he will flee. And here we have this example, the Lord. And I believe that angel of the Lord was Lord. But here the Lord is rebuking the devil. He's rebuking old Satan here. Said, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee." Then he said, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" In other words, is not this a prize of war, a brand plucked out of the fire? And it's like God is, you know, he's almost boasting here, kind of like he did with Job. And this is, you know, this is a time, this is the old covenant yet. And you know, it seems that Satan had access to the throne of God in the time of the old covenant, before Calvary. And so it is here. Verse 3 tells us, "Now Joshua," and this is a high priest, "was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." And I believe this is a word picture here. We have the angel of the Lord, or the Lord here, responding to these filthy garments that Joshua was wearing as he stands before the angel of the Lord. And, you know, the angel of the Lord says, take away those filthy garments from him. And he said, besides this, to the high priest Joshua, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment, other garments. And like I said, I believe this is a word picture. Well, this is what the Lord does for us. You know, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that there is none righteous, no, not one. And we know it's not of ourselves, our own righteousness is but filthy rags. We are all like an unclean thing in the sight of God. Oh, yes, and you know, something that's here for a moment, something that fades, something, oh, that doesn't have any stamina or strength of its own. And so I believe this represents us as we were in our sin. Oh, yes, before we had that opportunity to come to the Lord. Oh, yes, to be forgiven of those sins and then to go down into the waters of baptism for the remission of sin. Oh, yes. But here it was back at this time, and yet, oh, those filthy garments were on this high priest. Oh, it wasn't suitable. It wasn't proper. It represented sin, and it showed a condition that prevailed at that moment. But praise the Lord, there was one greater than that. And oh, yes, he was going to take those filthy garments from Joshua, and he was going to clothe them with garments that were clean, garments that were pure, garments that were undefiled. Praise the Lord, and that iniquity was going to pass from that man, and he was going to be reclothed with that change of raiment. Oh, praise the Lord. And then it seems that the eye in verse 5 is, I would suppose, Zechariah. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. You want to just hold this place and just look over at the 6th chapter of Zechariah, verses 10 and 11. Let's just read a couple of verses. I believe this is a little more insight into this headpiece that's being described here in chapter 3. Well, let's look at verse 9 first. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobijah, of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. So perhaps that is a description of what was then therefore set upon the head of Joshua, the high priest. Oh, yes. Oh, much better there. It sounds like a crown of silver and gold that was put upon the head, and perhaps upon those that were Josiah and those others that were of importance in the kingdom at that moment. So continuing here, Zechariah 3, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, and here I think he's exhorting him, because, you know, there's always room for exhortation, it seems to me, because, you know, we're human, and, you know, things can happen, you know, and sometimes our thinking can get a little askew, and we can, you know, kind of go a little off the track, that straight and narrow way, if we're not watching carefully. We always need to keep guarded and to keep watchful and to examine ourselves to make sure that we're walking in faith and in the way of the Lord. So here God is telling him in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Oh, I don't know the condition of the heart of Joshua before this. You know, he might have had some things in his heart that he needed to mend, you know, that he needed to get rid of, things that he needed to give over to the Lord, because I know those filthy garments would exemplify sin. But praise the Lord, there was something stirring here. The Lord was dealing with this need. And here he's telling him, after he was clothed again with clean garments, pure garments, undefiled garments, if thou will walk in my ways, if thou will keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. You know, I don't know, this makes me think of another little verse. If you want to just turn back a little bit to another minor prophet, Habakkuk, just a few pages back. We look at the third chapter of Habakkuk, verse 18. The prophet is writing and saying, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer of my stringed instrument." And I just think this is so beautiful here. This, you know, this prayer that's being prayed at the moment, as, you know, there is rejoicing in the Lord and in the God of his salvation, but admitting that God is his strength. And, you know, spiritually even, we don't always know the path that we have to take. And I'll tell you what, you know, hinds or deer have very special feet that can just kind of just spring over the field and, you know, they can just, you know, jump like, you know, nothing. You know, it's a special ability that they have. And, you know, it gives them ability to go places that a lot of creatures couldn't, because they are equipped to do so. But praise the Lord knows how to give us strength for every need, for every circumstance, and every situation in our life. And praise the Lord to acknowledge that he is our strength, and he knows how to give us feet like hinds' feet, even in the spiritual realm, that we can walk upon mine high places, oh, places where we couldn't go on our own. Yes, places that would be impossible for us of our own ability. But God goes beyond that. When we're walking with him, he knows how to give us something greater. Oh, yes, he knows how to fulfill the needs. He knows how to give us the strength that we wouldn't have in ourselves. And yes, he can even make us to walk upon those high places. Oh, yeah, those rough spots. Oh, yes, all those areas where, oh, we don't even know. It seems so confusing. And, you know, there's a lot of questions at times. But praise the Lord, we can cling to the Lord. We can cling to his promises. We can know that he knows how to give us strength. He knows how to give us joy. Yes, even in the midst of sorrow. And yes, he knows how to keep us. And oh, yes, how to give us that endurance that we need so that we can have strength unto the end. No matter what we have to endure, no matter what our lives may consist of in the future, we know a God that can help us to walk upon our high places. Oh, yes, to go where we need to go, even in the spiritual realm, to do the things that we need to do. Oh, yes, it might seem impossible with man. Praise the Lord, God was giving Joshua that kind of promise too, that he would give the places to walk among these that stand by. He was going to give him the ability, if he would just walk in his ways, if he would just keep his charge. And that's the way it is with us. We don't want anything to get between us and our Lord. We don't want any interference. You know, we've got to keep on straight in their way. Oh, yes, we don't want to look back. We don't want to give up. Oh, we dare not. We know with our patience we're going to possess our souls. There's something to strive for. There's a mastery to gain. Oh, there's a race to be won. And it's not, oh, necessarily to the one that is the swiftest. No, sometimes people run so fast at the first that they give out and have no more strength. But it's an endurance race, a race until the end. And if we could just keep going, keep going, keep going, and realizing, oh, the goal is ahead of us. The prize is ahead of us. And if we could just continue walking in the way, the Lord knows how to keep us. Oh, give us the ability that we need, yes, that we can judge properly, that we can keep, oh, yes, his promises, that we can stay in his courts. We can walk, we can tread, we can do the things that we need to do by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So that was a charge. And you know, it is so necessary. And I purpose, I guess I didn't tell you, I purpose to call this message, Take Away the Filthy Garments. And how it is spiritually, what a difference it makes. Oh, when we've come to the Lord and turned everything over to Him. And how important it is, how necessary it is to be clothed with the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, to be breathed upon by the breath of God, to have that garment of His righteousness upon our very being. You know, if we just keep our fingers back there in Zechariah, but if we turn to Revelation for a moment here. Revelation, the third chapter, the portion where he's talking to the church at Laodicea, and of course, you know, God is witness. He saw their works. He knew they were neither cold nor hot, but they were lukewarm. He said because they were lukewarm, he was going to spew them out of his mouth. Not good. They thought they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. They didn't know their true spiritual condition. They didn't know how they really stood in the sight of God. They didn't know that they were really wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They weren't clothed upon. They had walked away. They had stumbled. They were no longer in the will of God. They were no longer doing His will. They just thought, well, I've got this, I've got that. Oh, yes. We're doing all right. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't need anything. Oh, we never want to get to that place where, oh, yes, we think we've got it made, and oh, we're no longer striving for the mastery. Oh, no way. We never want to be like that. And it says in verse 18 here in Revelation 3, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, gold that has been proven. Oh, yes, the truths of God's word that we can stand upon, that are steadfast and sure, that thou mayest be rich. And he says, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Oh, how we need that white raiment, that we may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, yes, that cry to repent, to get right with God. You know, He holds out that arm of mercy. He extends it. And here in verse 20, that beautiful verse where He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. Oh, praise the Lord. That call is still going out. We'll just open the door of our heart and let the Lord in. Let him come into our life. Oh, yes, and change us. Oh, we surrender our will, our emotions, our minds to God. We give it over to Him. We say, here I am, God, take me. Oh, yes, change me, Lord. Clothe me with that garment of your righteousness. For I don't want to stand before God unclothed. I don't want to stand before God naked, having not on His garment of righteousness. That's how it's going to be. We're either going to have on His garment of righteousness or there's going to be nothing. Oh, nothing at all. But praise the Lord, we have opportunity tonight. Oh, yes, to be clothed with that garment of righteousness. You'll turn over with me to the 19th chapter of Revelation. Praise the Lord. And here we are at the end. As in verse 5, Revelation 19, and a voice came out of the throne, oh, that throne of God, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, oh, that great multitude in heaven, many tribes, nations, kindreds, and peoples, and tongues all standing there in the presence of God. And as a voice, so many waters. Oh, yes, it was. Oh, yes, so many. Praising the Lord that it, oh, it sounded like a great water rushing. And as a voice of mighty thunderings, oh, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The powerful one. Oh, yes, the almighty one. He reigns. Hallelujah. And no matter what man and woman may try to do, there's no way they're going to dethrone the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. And we can sing. We can shout. We can worship him. For he reigns and will reign forever and ever. Verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. You know, that's what we're doing down here in this world right now. We're making ourselves ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. You know, nothing else really matters, does it? Except that we get ready to meet the Lord, because this life down here is but a vapor. But we have an eternal destination, one place or the other, and that's what we're doing here. We're getting ready to be with the Lord. Either that or we're going to be damned and cast into the lake of fire. Verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, praise the Lord, that righteousness that he gives us. And looking at Titus, the third chapter here for a moment. Titus, the third chapter. Oh, we know it's not our own righteousness at all. Oh, not at all, you know. It tells us in the fifth verse of chapter 3 of Titus. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, praise the Lord, it was nothing that we could do of ourselves at all. Oh, no matter how good we might have tried to have been, rather, of our own self, it would never have been enough. We could never have done enough works to save our soul. But there was one that showed us great mercy. Oh, there was one, yes, that came to this world. Oh, yes, a God in heaven who loved us so much that he would come to this world, that he would come to this world and put on flesh to dwell among us, that he might bring us salvation. Oh, yes, that he might make us his sons and daughters. And he made a way that we could be saved, that we could be restored, that we could come to him. It is by the washing of regeneration. Oh, praise the Lord, something happens when we go down into those waters of baptism for the remission of sins. Oh, it's that washing of regeneration. Oh, yes, it purifies us. Oh, yes, and keeps on regenerating as we yield our lives to the Lord and keep on that straight and narrow way. Those waters of baptism continue to flow to regenerate us. Oh, yes, to freshen us, to give us that strength that we need. And, you know, John had wrote and said, you know, these things write out to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And praise the Lord, we know that we can go to Jesus and know that he has paid in full that price for our sins, that we could come to him. Oh, yes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise the Lord, those waters of regeneration continue to flow. Oh, yes, as we apply the blood of Jesus Christ on our life and walk in the light as he is the light and that renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, he pours out the Holy Ghost upon his children just as he did on the day of Pentecost. He pours it out, puts it deep down into our heart. Oh, yes, as it comes forth. And there's that renewing. Oh, yes, we need to be renewed in our spirits day by day. Oh, yes, we need more day by day. We're going to need strength. We're going to need the Holy Ghost continually to be renewed in our lives. But praise the Lord, it's all with him. The plan of God. Yes, so it wasn't by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, it's an abundant life in Jesus. Well, there's always more of God. You know, we never get so much that we can't have any more. You know, there's always more of God to obtain. Oh, yes, and if we feel like, oh, our vessel is a little low, oh, yes, we could come to him, ask him, oh, yes, for that renewing, for that refreshing, for that outpouring of his Spirit again. For surely we do want our vessels to be full of the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, we want to be charged with the Spirit of God. We don't want to be like those five foolish virgins that didn't have enough oil in their lamps. And when the bridegroom called and told them to come out and meet him, they couldn't. They couldn't because they couldn't see. They didn't have any oil left in their lamps. And it was too late to get more. Oh, I'll tell you what, we need to listen now. We need to give heed now. We don't know the hour and the day of the Lord's coming, but he's going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to come suddenly and unannounced. And he told us to watch. He told us to wait. Oh, yes. He told us to be, oh, yes, as the watchman that is waiting for his Lord's return. Oh, occupying until he comes, doing our Father's will until he comes, so that when he comes, we can open up the door right away and let him in, knowing that everything is right in our hearts. Our lamps are trimmed and they're burning. We've got the oil of the Holy Ghost aglow in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Going back here to Zechariah, the verse. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Oh, here's a prophetic utterance, and here he's addressing Joshua the high priest and those that sat among him, his fellows, those that they wondered at, men of esteem, I would assume, here. But yet there was something greater that was going to happen, that was going to come to pass. Oh, yes, there was one who was going to come forth as a servant, who was going to come forth as a branch. A branch is an extension of the tree. And I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was that branch. His God robed in flesh, that extension of God that came to this earth to seek and to save those that are lost. And you know, you could just hear John the Baptist crying there in the wilderness. Oh yes, he's been told that the one that he saw the Spirit of God ascend upon and stay, that this was the one, this was the Messiah, this is the one for whom they had waited. And there it is, he recognized the power and the unction that was in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And you could just hear him as he said he saw Jesus coming there in the first chapter of John. John was baptizing there in Bethabara beyond Jordan. It tells us in the 29th verse in John 1 that the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare witness, and he bore witness when he baptized Jesus, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, the Spirit of God coming upon that flesh. And that voice from heaven that said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear me, him. John bare witness of that. Praise the Lord. And he knew that this was the Son of God. Oh, yes, God had told him what to look for. And yes, he was a witness of that. He had come to bear witness of he who was to come, the Son of God, the Messiah. Praise the Lord. And he did that. Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 33 here in John 1, And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And yes, John had also said, Yes, indeed I baptize you with water, but there is one who's coming, whose shoe latch and I am not worthy to unloose, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yes, there was going to be a baptism that was greater than the baptism of John the Baptist. Praise the Lord. He knew that there was one that was coming, yes, that would not only baptize with water, but he would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, yes, the Spirit of God that comes into our lives to clean up all the dross, oh, to change us, to mold us, to give us strength, to give us overcoming power. Oh, that Spirit of the living God, praise the Lord, and he does baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Oh, John knew it. He heard, yes, he cried, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Praise the Lord, the Lamb of God that came, oh, yes, to bring us to the Lord. Oh, yes, to make a way for us. Praise the Lord. And he was that branch that Zechariah is talking about in this prophetic utterance, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And then it says in verse 9 here in Zechariah 3, For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Oh, there's a lot in this little verse. Oh, yes, and you know, it's really something, you know. Acts the fourth chapter, Peter was preaching away, and oh, he talked about that stone which the builders disannulled. The same has become the head of the corner, the cornerstone, which was Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. Peter preached about that, and Jesus talked about it too. Oh, yes, in Matthew 21, I believe. Matthew 21. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus talked about the prophetic utterance that had been given there in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, Jesus saith unto them, Matthew 21, verse 42, Did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, yes, that was from the 118th Psalm that he was quoting there. The stone which the builders rejected. Oh, Jesus came unto his own, didn't he? And his own received him not. Praise the Lord, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. It tells us in the first chapter of John. Praise the Lord, but he was largely rejected. He was rejected of his own people. But praise the Lord, in spite of that rejection, that stone became the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Oh, yes, the foundation of our salvation. Praise the Lord. And this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, what God can do that no man could ever do. Oh, yes, in spite of all the decrees of men and all their whims and wishes and desires. Oh, in spite of their philosophies and declarations. We serve a mighty God that knows, oh yes, how to go beyond that and make his will known. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, that stone that was rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone. Oh yes, the Lord's doing it is, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Oh, praise the Lord for that. And of course, the truth, oh, that they realize that Jesus was the Son of God. If we look at the 16th chapter of Matthew, there were those that had their opinions of Jesus Christ. And at one point there in the 13th verse in Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And, you know, they answered with this. These were the opinions of the people. You know, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias or Elijah, in other words. Another Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That was the opinion out there, quite largely. But Jesus asked them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And I love how Peter just promptly said in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It comes by revelation, the knowledge of who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the flesh of the living God. In verse 18, Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I'll tell you what, the rock that he was talking about that he was going to build his church upon is that revelation that Peter had, the revelation that God gave him, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what the church is built upon. That truth that he puts in our hearts, that knowledge that he puts deep within us, is a revelation that comes from God. And praise the Lord, he gave his people great authority. You know, he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of God, and he opened up the door of salvation on the day of Pentecost. He opened it up to the Samaritans, and that he laid hands on them to receive the Holy Ghost. And there, at the household of Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts, he again was the one that was opening up the door of salvation to the Gentiles. But here is the authority, and not only to Peter, but unto the church of the living God, that power to bind those things that interfere with the will of God. We can bind them in the name of Jesus and take authority upon them with the promise, with the knowledge that they will be bound in heaven. And we can loose the things that need to be loosed. Oh, yes. likewise, and they will be loosed in heaven. That's the authority that he gave his church. Praise the Lord. And we have it right now, this day. And verse 20 says here in Matthew 16, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Well, it comes by revelation. You know, people aren't going to believe it anyway. Here they were. You know, most of them, they would say that he was the son of Joseph. Or otherwise, if, you know, they had some insight, they thought he was one of those prophets. But praise the Lord, by revelation, it came to Peter that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the stone that the church of the living God is built upon. That's the rock, that revelation. And praise the Lord, it's so strong, it's so mighty, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise the Lord, the church of the living God. Praise God. So going back to Zechariah, verse 9 here, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Those seven eyes, it explains, if you look over at the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. I believe that denotes his ability, God's ability to see, to know, to observe all things. You know, nothing is hidden from God. He sees all the details. He knows all the hearts. He knows all the situation. There is nothing at all that you can keep from God. And praise the Lord, here it's like seven eyes. It denotes completeness here and God's all-seeing ability, his all-knowing ability. It says, behold, I will engrave the graving thereof. Oh, yes. Oh, he puts his name upon our foreheads. Oh, yes, there's an engraving that he does in our hearts to make us his own. Oh, yes, to make us his child. Oh, he puts that within us. And oh, yes, there at the end, when we behold our King, we behold our Savior in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 4, it says, and they shall see his face. Oh, you know, in the times of old, no man could look on the face of God and live. But here we are in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to see him as he is. It says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, praise the Lord. What happens when we give our lives to the Lord? We repent of our sins, and we go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, yes, there is a work that is done in our hearts, a work that only God could do in our lives. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, what a difference it makes in our life. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, praise the Lord. We put on Christ when we go down into those waters of baptism. And Romans, the 6th chapter. Oh, we've gone here so many times before baptisms. And such an important verse, such an important chapter, really. Because it tells us, oh, yes, we come to the Lord, we come as we are. But, oh, yes, he begins to work in our lives. He begins to change us. We begin to understand things that we never could understand before. He begins to reveal truth to us. Our eyes are opened, and all at once, even, oh, yes, the words of life come alive in our hearts. And We could see and understand things that were impossible before for our knowledge. And then, yes, we put off the old man. Yes, that's what baptism indicates, that, you know, we put off the old man by repenting, by turning our lives over. And that desire to sin is no longer a part of our being. We've turned sin over to the Almighty One. We've turned it over to God. And no longer do we want to serve sin, because we were all the servants of sin. At one point, yes, we all lived in that kind of bondage. But the Lord Jesus died to save us from our sins. That's why he came to this earth the first time, to save us from our sins. So we didn't have to live in our trespasses and sins. Oh, we were dead in those trespasses and sins. But praise the Lord, there's something that happens. Looking at Romans, the 6th chapter, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, Paul has expounded in the 5th chapter, you know, the wonderful grace of God that came to us as individuals, that came to us as sinners to save us, that grace that, you know, was so great that, oh, it touched us. It changed us. Oh, yes, those sins were forgiven. The wonderful grace of God, grace that we could not deserve or merit on our own at all. So the question is asked here in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, more grace, grace, grace every time we sin? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And verse 3 explains, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Yes, it represents us being buried with Christ when we go down into the water in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it indicates. Verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. It shows that we have died from our sins. We've, you know, cast them aside. It's no longer a desire in our life. And so now we take the next step, the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's likened unto being buried with him by that baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Oh, yes, so we could put on a new man. Oh, yes, all things become changed. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Verse 5 here in Romans 6, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Oh, yes, we give him our filthy garments. Oh, those garments of sin, we give them over to the Lord. Oh, yes, and it's like we're crucified. That old man, that old person, all those old rags, all those filthy garments, they're crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Oh, yes, we no longer want to serve sin, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. And yes, we've died out from our sins, our past. We've died out from those tendencies, those desires that once were a huge part of our lives. And it explains in verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, listen, people don't realize it. They might think they're living in pleasure. They're doing what they want to do. They're living in sin. It is jolly. And, you know, they're like everybody else, having a good old time. But they're in bondage. Oh, sin is a bondage. Sin has dominion over a person. It dominates their lives. Oh, its end is cruel. Oh, its end is eternal separation from Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, but we die out to sin. Oh, we repent and go down into those waters of baptism. Oh, yes, it represents our dying out to sin. And that spiritual damnation, that spiritual death, hath no more dominion over him. For in that he dieth unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. So, yes, we come up out of the water. It represents the newness of life. We come up out of the water as a new creature. Oh, yes, entirely possible that, yes, the Holy Ghost baptism falls at that moment too, because, oh, yes, as we yield our hearts, as we surrender all things to him, yes, he knows how to empower us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it says in verse 11 here, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. See, that's what sin is. It's a yielding to those tendencies, those lusts, those desires. You know, you're in bondage in that condition. But we don't. As we put on Christ, we no longer want to yield or give ourselves over to those tendencies, those desires, those lusts. They must go. But instead, we yield or we surrender ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, praise the Lord, how he redeems us and sets us free. Praise the Lord. And reading just a few more verses in this chapter, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Again, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. And I'll tell you what, it is possible to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus and to go back and turn away. And you don't rebel against your servant, well, your privilege of serving the Lord. So it tells us, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Praise the Lord. And be then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful chapter. We were the servants of sin, but we've been free from it. We give our hearts, our lives to the Lord. We go down in those waters of baptism. And praise the Lord again here in Zechariah, the third chapter. Just to finish it here. I will engrave the graving thereof. Oh, yes, how he writes his name in our forehead. There in verse 9, middle of it, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of our gracious and wonderful salvation. It says, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Oh, the peace that passes all understanding that comes to reign in the heart. Oh, yes, when we know the Lord, and he puts us in that position where sin is removed and it's no longer a part of our life. We're not under that bondage any longer, but now we're free to serve the Lord and to be his servant, which is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege and gift that we've been given from God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to go one more place that I know of right now and turn to the book of Acts in the 22nd chapter. Here in this 22nd chapter of Acts, Paul is testifying here. for the chief priests and all of them that are highly angry at him, shall I say. And, you know, I just, they want to do away with him, and they would have, except that, you know, he was rescued. And so here it is. He's able to give his testimony in this 22nd chapter. And he just tells the story. You know, we know that he was Saul of Tarsus. And you know, the thing that was in his heart, he had persecuted the church of the living God. He had delivered men and women, oh yes, over to being imprisoned or even to be put to death. And the high priest had given him letters to and permission to do so. And there he was on the way to Damascus. All at once, praise the Lord, God intervened. God stopped him. Oh yes, he says, verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of what things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And look at verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And praise the Lord, you know, Saul of Tarsus, who became known as Paul, obeyed that heavenly vision. Praise the Lord. And Ananias, oh yes, was willing to meet him. And, oh yes, instruct him and pray with him. And yes, that blindness that was put upon his eyes was healed. And then, oh yes, as he was told, yes, oh, he had a work to be done. God had chosen him. Oh, God had a will for him, and he was going to carry the gospel to many near and far. Oh, yes, he was going to work hard, exceedingly hard for the Lord. But, oh, it says in verse 16, And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And praise the Lord, we have such a wonderful ability. Oh yes, to come to the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, and this privilege to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Because that is the washing away of our sins. Oh, yes, we don't have to wear that filthy garment anymore. Oh, no, God gives us his righteousness, that linen robe of righteousness, pure and white, that he puts upon his people so that one day we can stand before him. Oh, not found naked, not with our own ugly, filthy garment. We could be clothed upon with his garment. Yes, because we obeyed the voice of God. We came to him. We repented. We surrendered our will, our emotions, our life to the Lord. And then we went down into the waters of baptism buried with Christ, putting on Christ in those waters of baptism, knowing that our sins would be washed away in those waters of baptism, so that we could arise to walk in newness of life. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful plan of God, that He made a way that we didn't have to stay in our filthy sins and walk in our trespasses and sins and follow, you know, the mainstream and do the things that, you know, our innate nature seemed to want to do. But praise the Lord, He came to us, made a provision that we could repent and be baptized in His name, and therefore be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost that comes upon us. Oh yes, as we surrender our life to the Lord, and yes, the evidence as we speak in other tongues and glorify God as they did on the day of Pentecost. The wonderful plan of God. But praise the Lord, as, oh yes, the angel of the Lord told Joshua, the high priest, back there in Zechariah, that third chapter, oh yes, let's take these filthy garments from this man. Oh yes, I've caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I'm going to clothe thee with a change of raiment. Oh yes. So one day, oh yes, we could stand before God, oh, not having on our own filthy rags, not to be hindered and dragged down by the sins of our life, but oh yes, having been transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost that He gives us, so that we can walk with Him, oh, and have fellowship with Him, and have that strength that He gives us that we wouldn't have in ourselves, that overcoming strength, yes, to stand, to walk in this world and live above sin. Oh, yes. And to do our Heavenly Father's will. Oh, praise the Lord, how we want to be clothed. Oh, yes, you know, just one more reference here, the 22nd chapter of Matthew, where there was that wedding feast, and yes, those that were called were not worthy to come in, and they had to go out into the highways and bid all those that were out there, both good and bad, to come into the wedding feast so it would be furnished with guests. And there was one man that tried to come in. Oh yes, in those times they would give them a wedding garment that they could put on. But there was one man that obviously refused to put on the wedding garment. And all at once, the king looked at that man and saw that man. He wasn't wearing the wedding garment, and there he was standing. And, you know, why not? He was given to you. You could have put it on, but why didn't you put it on? And he asked in that 22nd chapter of Matthew, verse 12. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Then there was no words. He was speechless. There was nothing that could come to mind. There was nothing he could say. He had just not put it on. He had just not gone forth and done the thing that he needed to do. And it says, then so the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I'll tell you what, we need that wedding garment on. We need to be clothed with His righteousness. We're not going to be able to stand on our own righteousness or of any of our works. But praise the Lord, God made a way. Oh, yes, that we can obey the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, repenting of our sins, and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, so that we can be clothed upon with that wedding garment. We don't have to wear those filthy rags that would not stand in the presence of God at all. No, we must be clothed with His Spirit, with His righteousness, oh yes, with what He gives us as a newborn child of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you made a way of escape. Oh, Lord, that you gave us a plan and a purpose, Lord. We don't have to wear those filthy rags, but, oh, Lord, we can obey thy command. We can be buried with thee in the waters of baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We've got a baptism tonight, and oh, very much looking forward to it. I know Wyatt's been looking forward to this moment for a long time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I know Samuel will come, and I guess Wyatt, if you just want to go down and put the robe on, be just fine. We'll get ready for the next thing here tonight. Praise the Lord. These are always joyful, wonderful moments. We all rejoice at such a moment, at such an event. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. While we're waiting for Wild to get ready for her baptism, we're going to sing a chorus, possibly two. And we're going to turn to number 36 in the chorus book and sing I Love Jesus Best of All, number 36. For he saves my soul. Gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For he saves my soul from sin. Gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For he saves my soul from sin. Gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. For he saves my soul from sin. Gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in his name, and of him I'm not ashamed. For I love Jesus best of all. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to try another one that we haven't sang in quite some time, and in fact, we just recently added it to the chorus book, number 181. Let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, number 181. Let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, and go down in the water in his name. Just as Peter used the keys on the day of Pentecost, it's just the same today. Maybe switch gears a little bit. Yeah. Let's exalt. We'll get it. Sing those old choruses, and I don't know why we don't sing some of those more often. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to have Wild come up here if you're ready for this. I'm just going to take these heaters out quickly. We need to get that done before you get in the water, obviously. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Hopefully it's warmed up sufficiently. We've been here for several hours now. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Okay, when I put you down, do you want to hold your wrist and not plug your nose?
Oh,
like
it'd
be something to hold on to, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You might want to just back up just a little more.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Wild Jewels, my wilder side.
Mm-hmm.
Do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
On the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of all your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord.